on Web Radio, where we shine the positive light of Jesus Christ on music, scripture, community, and world issues. We're being broadcast from the awesome Skid Row Studios in beautiful downtown Los Angeles. If you would like to see our show live, go to skidrowstudios.com and hit live video. And now, our show.
Hi, I'm Willis Boyd.
And I'm Denise Boyd.
And you're listening to Positive Perspective. Okay, tonight, it's just Denise and myself, and we're just going to kind of recap on some things and just kind of have some discussions about some of the things going on today in the world. And but first, there's something I want to get off my chest. And that is the rioting in Baltimore. I just briefly look at the news and I see just the same thing happening over and over and over and over again. It's like history repeating itself. It's crazy how you have the white cops or white people killing black people. Then you have the funeral or the, I guess, black leaders intervening with their words of wisdom, and you have the funeral and the sad people, and then you have the rioting in the streets, tearing up basically your own neighborhoods, and just it's just nonsense. It's like I was looking at the news and the helicopters showing, it looked like a bunch of little black roaches down there tearing up stuff. And what does that have to do with anything? I mean, what does it have to do with anything to take an opportunity or a tragedy to make an excuse to steal something, to damage other people's stuff and steal something? Basically, isn't it just basically proving what they already think about you? What do you think, Niece?
Well, what I seen different in what was going on in Baltimore than what I've seen in a lot of other places was when it got daylight and the community there saw that the damage that had happened from the handful, and I say handful because a lot of these rioters and stuff were young kids that were out there. You've seen grown-ups, adults that were out there sweeping up glass, trying to help pick up store owners. They didn't, they stopped those stores. They weren't their stores, but that's where they visited because that was the community. They were trying to keep clean it on up. Mm-hmm. You saw mothers and fathers walking, you know, with the protesters trying to protest, saying, let's be peaceful on this. And then the one mom that saw her kid with the mask on throwing the rocks at the cops. I mean, I have to applaud this woman that went out there and knocked that kid up the head a couple times and told him to get his butt on over there to her and dragged his little tush back onto the house and says, you don't act like that. Now, I think she maybe did it for maybe different reasons than what some people, and I think she did it like, I don't want to be putting your butt in a coffin 2 days later.
That's basically.
But that boy, when they interviewed him a couple days later, he said he was more afraid of his mama than he was those cops out there because that woman didn't play. And I think if more of the parents.
I know, but you're crazy. They'll put them in jail for,
wanted to try to do that until
to her,
they started seeing that the community was uprising and too many people were saying, no, she's taking control of her child so that he's not being, you know, and I think it's because he was throwing rocks at and stuff at them. If it had been a different story where he was out there throwing rocks at a rival gang, they'd have probably taken her to jail. But because it was, you know, basically those kids were getting the best of those cops out there.
Well, I don't know. I just know that, and I mean, you know, the past experiences that I've had with, DPS or Child Protection Services, they, in my opinion, want the cops to shoot your kids because they don't want you to discipline them. And that, I said discipline, not abuse, but discipline your child. They don't want you to do that. And not doing that, they're creating a problem where they are going to stay in work because of the dysfunctional situations that not disciplining your children bring. And that's going to keep them in employment because they're running around creating all these problems so they can stay employed.
I think that lady would have rather, she probably wasn't even thinking a thing about what CPS or anybody else was doing. She wanted to get her kids.
She didn't want to, another dead kid.
And, you know, people say, well, he had a mask on and a hood on. Mm-hmm. A mom knows how their kid walks, what they sound like. You can pick your child out in a group anytime.
Yeah.
And she knew that that was her kid, and she didn't care what anybody thought. Yeah, no, she was just getting him away from that.
She didn't want a dead kid. Yeah,
that's right.
And I seen an interesting website, and I'm not sure what it was, but it was kind of depicting that black people are bad people, and they, I don't know if they were trying to make excuses that it, that's why bad things are happening to them. But I can't remember the name of the, when I was doing some research on the Baltimore thing, it was interesting because they're not wrong, but they were just showing black kids doing the, what do they call that? The flash,
flash mob.
Yeah. Flash mobs and fights breaking out, but all races of kids are doing those.
Right.
Things.
It's not just, that might just be the one that was on the thing, but
no,
they were
singling out the black.
But that's what I'm saying. Those flash mobs and stuff. I mean, they've been from kids to adults.
Yeah.
To,
and
it's been all,
out.
It's just been all kinds of, you know, to some of them have been peaceful things where, you know, they've sort of like on the subways and stuff with all of a sudden they just kind of stood up and started doing, you know, dancing. And it was all in good jest. Nobody got hurt. It was just something that happened.
They all stood up and started doing the Margarita.
Or whatever.
How do you say it? Margarita.
Whatever, you know. But I'm just saying, I think, though, that there's a lot. I think that our society that we're in now, there's a lot of kids that get into a lot of trouble. You know, and I think that what's happening right now is so much is focused on the black race out there. That's what's being publicized out there. But, you know, I think, and mostly it's in the poor communities, whether it's whites, Hispanics, whatever it is, you know, because you know there's gangs in every race out
there. This web that I was talking about, they were kind of saying that basically kind of trying to say that black people are using the culture thing, or not the culture thing, but the, you know, the system being against them
as an excuse to do wrong
and blaming their wrong deeds on society and not having a dad or a mom or anybody that they can look up to or work or anything like that. But basically they were saying that's
part of what they were saying about that young man that lady went out. She's a single mom of six kids.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for whatever reason, who knows why she's got six kids she's raising by herself. But she was in touch with what was going on with her kids. And maybe the son didn't have a strong male role model. Who knows if there's another man, you know, in his life, whether that be a coach, a teacher, an uncle, maybe his father or whatever. They never bring any of that out. They just say that's a single mom with six kids. But, you know.
Well, some of those single moms are pretty tough.
They are.
They do a very good job.
You know, and a lot of them are. So I think that's an excuse. Now, I do think not having both parents in a home does contribute to the balance, because I think that what a woman sees things one way and a man sees things a little bit different. So you have that balance that goes on in there. And I mean, I know just from our personal experiences, things that I would say, no, that's just not going to happen. You're like, no, that'll be fine. Other things you say, it's, you know, okay or whatever. And I'm like, you know, this, you know, it's just, we've seen the balance go on just with, you know, in our family that, you know, and then, you know, both you and I were fortunate enough to be, you know, to be raised with a mom and a dad in our household.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it takes a little of both, you know, to help raise these kids. And I think, you know, that contributes not just to the black race. It contributes to anybody else that doesn't have two parents in the household.
Yeah, there's a lot of irreversible damage that's already been done, in my opinion. And I don't believe that any of it's going to be fixed until Christ returns. And I mean, I don't believe that we can fix it. I mean, we sit in here and we talk about Skid Row and we talk about solutions and we talk about all these things, but I don't believe really in my heart that there is a fix. I don't really believe so.
I'd have to agree with you that I don't think there's a fix because the whole world doesn't, you know, there's so many that don't believe in Jesus. Don't believe in anything. They're just selfish and out for themselves. And when you have selfish people out for themselves, they don't care who they walk on, who they step on, who they spit on, mm-hmm. as long as they get, you
but
know,
they
where they're
think
going.
They want for the moment.
Right. And yeah. and so there isn't a fix for something because you can't fix somebody else's attitude or somebody else's actions. And that's what the root is of what's going on. It's what's inside that other person. So it doesn't really have, in my mind, anything to do with necessarily the person that's down there on Skid Row, I think, is what caused them to be down there on Skid Row, what's causing the people they interact with, whether that be people on Skid Row or the people that are just down there shopping and doing their thing.
Well, me myself, I think that a lot of people are on Skid Row because of oppression and not having the same opportunities as others, not the same liberties as other people. I really believe that in my heart. I believe that the oppressions that have contributed to mental problems and incarceration.
I think also that the drugs that are out there nowadays have just fried some people's brains so bad that they aren't able to function in society anymore because they just don't have it upstairs. And they may have had some issues beforehand, mm-hmm. and those drugs have just brought out so much.
Enhanced everything.
Yeah, just enhanced it all to, you know, I mean, you can go down there and I don't even think they realize what they're doing. They just don't have that. You know, so now they are mentally challenged.
Well, I know a lot of people that haven't taken any drugs that don't know what they're doing. I mean,
right? But you
mentally
understand.
They're just.
But I mean, I think they
can
may
you say
have been
buttholes.
No, I says butt. I think maybe there's some of these where you know functioning adults or functioning kids and stuff, and they just got hooked up on the wrong stuff, whether it was because a pimp turned them on out, and now they're just so hooked on it that they don't have no need for them no longer, or, you know, they experimented. I mean, you know, one time with something, and maybe they just got so hooked on it that it just says,
yeah, I think drugs have contributed.
And there's so much. Because they're so much stronger and so much disabilitating. And, you know, when I was growing up, they didn't have a recreational drug. You know, I mean, you know, it was like people, I can use Coke just on the weekends because it, you know, just makes me feel good and I can party real well.
Well, I think they did, Niece. I don't think you really understood. But I think a lot of people used that.
You know, I think abuse it. I mean...
Well, not abused, but I think a lot of people, even back in those days, used drugs as, the like you say, for recreation. And it maybe went further than that, but I don't think it's any... I mean, it's more...
It's more known now, and I mean, it's
because
more
there's more people.
But I think also because the wealthy do it, it became more acceptable in society. It wasn't the radicals that were out there doing LSD, heroin. It was more of the wealthy that started doing more and more of these things, and it became acceptable. I mean, it was people on Wall Street. It was, I mean, look what you got, mayors that's been, you know, arrested and stuff for doing it, and that's just the ones that got caught. Who knows who didn't get caught that did it, where... I think 40 years ago, it just would have been, you know, alcohol was what was abused more than not some of these hardline drugs. And a lot of them just, they are so addicting and they're so mind altering. And the more you use, the more your body needs.
Hey. Anyway, basically back to getting something off my chest, the rioting in Baltimore and that whole thing just looks like a blast from the past. And I just think that even when certain people do things a certain way or do the things that they've always done, I think as a people and not just black people, but as a society, that we have to confront it a different way. We just have to confront it a different way. Now, you were telling me about that. Is it a district attorney lady?
I'm not sure exactly what her title was. Mm-hmm. It was I think she's the prosecuting attorney or whatever. Mm-hmm. She's a young 26-year-old woman, and she's going to be who is actually going to prosecute the Baltimore police.
Mm-hmm.
And when I heard her on the radio, I was really amazed by how much confidence she had and how the way she rattled off her facts. I mean, she did somebody in that department did some research, and I mean, did it quickly, you know, to try to, you know, hopefully resolve something. I mean, one of the things the news commentator was talking about, they've never seen charges brought that quickly against a police department. I mean, they buried the guy, you know, on one day, and less than a week later, they've got charges against six police officers. I mean, you just don't, if it had been here in LA, it had been 6 months, maybe they had charges brought up against them. You know, they just
maybe.
Don't move
it.
Maybe.
Yeah.
You know, whether they get a conviction or not, but they had their, you know, that's a different, you know, that's not necessarily up to, I mean, if they go before a jury and who knows who's on that or how else it goes.
And yeah, those kind of politics, but those are the kinds of things that have created this problem, basically, is that cops or people are, you know, in public offices are doing things and then, you know, getting caught for it. And then the prosecutors are not following through, or the good old boy system are letting those people off. And that's why this keeps happening.
Well, as of on Friday, when she, Thursday or Friday, I can't remember which day I heard her speak on, they had, by later that evening on the news when I was coming home, I heard they had five officers already in jail.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they just didn't, it wasn't like, okay, we filed these charges and we're going to put you on desk duty and stuff until we do.
Well, what do they call it?
Administrative leave.
Yeah, leave, but with pay.
Yeah.
And they usually do it with pay.
They may be out now because they passed bail, but their police union was having some issues with it because they weren't dragging their feet. You know, and you hear a lot of the community leaders and a lot of prominent people in Baltimore that are saying, you know, we built the city with our backs. We are not going to let, you know, anybody take this down and take it away from us. I mean, mm-hmm. it's, you know, it's not a wealthy city. You know, it's an inner city, you know, mm-hmm. like most of them are. But they had some really prominent people that were talking, some athletes that made their, you know, made their careers there in Baltimore, and mm-hmm. they were like, you know, this is my town,
mm-hmm.
and I'm not going to let the rioters nor the police take anything away that we've built back up again, you know. And I mm-hmm. think by them filing suit and charging those police officers, you know, and we haven't got all the facts or anything, you know, we get bits and pieces from the news and everything else, but at least to me, they're moving forward and not dragging their feet on what's going on so that they can try to get some closure and try to get some things resolved. And hopefully whatever comes out one way or another, the police officers are not going to be able to abuse people.
I don't know. But I mean, it all depends on how this thing is handled and what the verdict is.
And you know, it was really, you know, why I think this lady is, and you know, I don't know her from Adam,
mm-hmm.
But why I think that she has an open mind at going after the truth and trying to prosecute. Her mom and dad are both police officers. Her grandfather was a police officer. She comes from a family with uncles and aunts that are in the police force. So she understands. She's grown up with the attitude and stuff of being a police officer
and doing the right thing,
and she just happened to go to law school and go that direction, and she's now going against, you know, she's not working, she's going against prosecuting the, you know, the mm-hmm. police.
Okay, now what was this thing, and Shante told me about this, and I hadn't really heard it before, but the nickel ride.
Well, I heard it called something else, and they what they do is they throw people in the paddy wagon for, you know, those vans,
mm-hmm.
and they're shackled, you know, handcuffed on their feet and handcuffed on their and hand. On their wrists and stuff. And normally they're supposed to restrain you. They put you in the seat there,
and then
they chain you to the pole down the middle and you know, the sides or something. So, but what they like to do for a little bit of extra punishment is throw you in there and just kind of forget.
When Shantae was telling me about what happens in those situations and what you were describing, that's torture.
Well, and they take the. Let me take the quick stop. So you slam up against the thing, and the quick start off. Then you slam up against the back of it. Then we're going to take a fast left turn. So basically, mm-hmm. you're like in a washing machine, just being whooshed all
around.
And
now this guy got picked up, and they're saying that the knife. You heard it was a switchblade. Then you heard it was attached to his belt. But the lady said it was perfectly legal for him to be carrying that.
From what she was saying, that there wasn't any apparent reason that he was stopped for, that he wasn't doing anything
okay,
wrong.
Now, I also heard that he was selling drugs. Is he a drug dealer?
I don't know that part. And, you know, I hadn't heard that. Doesn't mean, mm-hmm. you know, I just hadn't heard that. And maybe they caught him someplace else or whatever.
They picked him up for the knife, and that's what I heard.
Pick you up for, to me, it does not warrant anybody. I don't care if you just shot and killed somebody. Still does not warrant you driving
torturing
with that,
them.
Torturing them or
because,
putting them in that type of thing. Because you're not the judge out there. That driver, those mm-hmm. cops, the arresting cops, they're not the judge and jury. Their job is to get him to the police station
And get him booked
and get him into jail. Mm-hmm. Somebody else is supposed to go there and prove whether he was, you know, doing something
guilty
wrong or right.
Innocent.
And I think what's happening is we've got some police officers out there that think that they're the judge and jury and they're just going to take care of it right now.
I don't think it's even that. I think they're just straight racist is what I believe. I believe that they're just straight racist and they hate and they want to kill and they want to torture and they want to put like the Klan hanging, you know, going out, you know, 50 of them going out to some cabin in the backwoods where there's a man and one, his wife and their two kids and 50 of them taking that man out and hanging him, lynching him.
Right in the tree in the front yard so the family all sees
him. And then everybody else sees it and then they have that fear that's put in everybody else. And I think, and there's been talk of even L.A. having the sheriff department being a goon squad, a gang, a sheriff's gang.
Well, that Sheriff Baca's been up on, you know, there's been some cases that's been brought him. And
accusations.
And at the jailhouses, you know.
Oh, yeah, that's like they're going through that whole
thing. They're going through that whole thing right now at the jailhouses.
It's
the prisons.
The fear tactics that they want people to be scared and to fear, but I think that's going when you have that kind of power, I believe that it goes even further. It corrupts, and then you can't just stay at one level when you have that kind of power going on. It always, you know.
Well, to me, it's no different than the gangs that are out there. You know, you've got, that's what the gangs do. They go around to
extorting
money and stuff. And, you know, it's like, we're going to hurt one store owner down through there because that one just got made the example. And if you don't pay up the money, then we're going to hurt you or your family
blow
or something.
Up your business
and to me, it's the same
principle.
Same principles behind it. You know, you're managing by fear, and that's not the way you manage, you know. I mean,
well, not here anywhere, or shouldn't be here in a world power. It's just so, it's, I guess, so.
But you know doggone well, your job and my job, if the manager's there, the company's managed by fear on that type of stuff, that they be sitting down at the labor board quicker, or the union hall quicker than anybody could blink an eye, saying, you can't do that. That's not the way you can strong arm.
I have to disagree with you. I think a lot of them, it's a lot more subtle than what we're talking
subtle,
about.
Subtle, but that subtle, I mean, I think they do that.
Yeah.
But you get less productivity out of people. That's another topic we're getting on to. But I think it is subtle.
You being in management, right?
But
upper management.
The police right now, they're not even being subtle about it. It's just being straight. It's
and
just
see,
blatant.
What I'm saying is this one prosecutor that you're talking about, a district attorney or...
I can't remember what her title was.
Yeah, that is the fix-it. In my opinion, it's either a lot of people have to die or the justice system has to step up and do what they are there to do and not give anybody the free ticket, you know, get out of jail free card. They have to step up and they have to start persecuting these people who are committing murder, just like they were out on the street. Mm-hmm. They're not in your little blue coat family. That these people are murderers and they need to be treated as such. So,
okay, well, I think it's time to see what's going on.
Okay, I'm with that.
All right, it's time to take a look at what's going on and where you can get it going on. The best impression start at home. Elite furniture for affordable prices. For more information, you can contact Richard Boyd at 951-214-8555. Drama Stage Qumran has a weekly Veterans Theater Workshop led by Melvin Ishmael Johnson and Erlene Anthony. The workshop is on Wednesday nights from 4 to 6. A free course in stage managing, playwriting, and more. The workshop, though, has been postponed. If you'd like more information on when it will resume, you can contact Melvin Johnson at 213-908-6567 or email them at dramastage1@yahoo.com. Positive Light is back with the kayak.
A kayak!
If you know anything about Positive Light's history, we take the children kayaking. Inner city kids, out of city kids, everyone. The fundraiser will be on August 22nd and the kayak trip will be September 19th. So let's all get ready for that. We'd like to thank our engineer Cheyenne for helping us out. You're doing a great job. If you'd like to be part of our show through sponsorship, you can contact us at 951-789-1046 and learn more about our organization, Positive Light Ministries, and make a donation. Please visit our website, positivelight.org, and like us on Facebook at facebook.com/wearepositivelight. And last but not least, Tech Talk Retreat, the first Wednesday of every month at the Vortex, 2341 East Olympic in LA at 5:30. Workshops, speakers, and networking for Skid Row Studio show hosts, engineers, and intern. It's a free event and refreshments served.
Okay. I'd also like to kind of elaborate on the kayaking event. We do need donations, food donations, expertise in kayaking, anything we can get as far as trying to take someone that's used to concrete and broken glass and take them out and give them an experience on the ocean. A lot of people, or a lot of children, and a lot of people have never kayaked before, and it's always amazing what that does for a person. And we need food donations and money donations. So if you're within earshot, think about it.
Visit us on our website.
Get that information. Okay, I think we're going to shift gears here. Very interesting on Baltimore and the things going on. I think that the solution to these problems is either a lot of people have to die, or
I think it's either people have to die or the police departments and the communities and the justice system needs to be reworked and needs to be reworked.
I don't think it even has to be reworked.
I just think that they have to be applied.
Okay, you know, and then if they apply it and persecute these people as for what they should do that too. But prosecute these people for the crimes that they're committing, then I don't believe that this will continue. I believe if there's consequences behind those actions, I believe those people will not make a mistake saying, I thought it was my taser. I think that, and I'm not trying to justify any bad person out there, no matter what color they are. If you're bad and you want to confront a police, I think they should shoot your butt. They should kill you if it is just. Okay, but all these mistakes going on, there's too many happening, and too many of them happening to unarmed black people.
And I think, not to take anything away from, there is good police out there, and they do have a tough job of, you know, they don't know when they're walking up into a situation who may or may not be armed, what their mental state is or anything else. But they are trained, or if they haven't been trained, then that's a problem also.
That's what I think the big problem is. I think a lot of them are just arrogant, and they're walking into situations, and then that's the solution. I'm going to pull my gun and I'm going to shoot you. And it doesn't make any difference what the situation is. They're arrogant, and they're not using their training, even if they have it.
Well, and I know it's possible to train people, because you see the military, you've seen them so many times train where they bust into these places and they don't shoot the person that's there because they made that split decision to say whether that was enemy or mm-hmm. whether that was friendly. Now, granted, there has been some fires and things that go on, but nowhere near in a war zone of what's going on in our own backyards of right. the shootings. And I mean, you would think in a war zone when...
Well, you'd think that, but I'm researching. There's a lot of crazy stuff going out there, and wow. there's a lot of bad people out there with guns doing bad yeah. things. But
those like you say, those are getting shot.
Yeah, there's a choice to make, and just a judgment call that you have to make as a trained police officer that will save lives. And I believe if you make those mistakes and you don't follow protocol, that you should be fried. Well, I mean, you should be set in a chair, ejected with the needle twice, one in each arm, and just something really bad, you know, tickle your feet or something, but, you know, strap you down, tickle your feet and inject you. But something really super bad should happen to those who are just taking their power for granted. Okay, I want to talk a little bit. I mean, time is just flying.
Sure is.
And I'm a Christian man, and there's some crazy stuff going on. I the deterioration of the United States is happening rapidly, and I think I'm going to go to this Bruce Jenner thing and how it appalls me and it disgusts me to see that. And I didn't watch the interview. I just see it on the news. But from what I hear, the man was really, really sad and thinking that wanting to be a woman or not figuring stuff out. And this has led him to change from a man into a woman. And these things are an abomination. I mean, just looking at that, it looks like an abomination to me. But in the Bible, God says it is an abomination. Those are not my words. I mean, even though I think it, those are not my words. I'm not just coming with this up with this on my own. God says it's an abomination. And I just kind of wanted to.
But one of the things that made me kind of wonder when I was doing some research on it, you know, he says that he's had these feelings where, you know, he was a woman trapped in a man's body, but yet he married a woman. He fathered numerous kids. So obviously he took on the role of what a male does. But then I was also reading, which made me wonder, was there something different going on? Because it said as early as 1980, he was taking female hormones.
Now, was that after the Olympics, right?
The Olympics was 1976. So he was a young man. What would a young man be wanting female hormones for? You know, I mean, if you're starting to feel like a woman, if anything else, you'd want to, in my mind, take male hormones to make you feel more virile and stuff. I just can't, you know. So I struggle with, you know, was he contributing to some thoughts in there? You know, has society said, because some people have a little bit more feminine parts to them, some men are aspects, and some women have, you know, some more masculine ones on there. Mm-hmm. So if you're a man and you have some feminine feelings or something like that, you know, and you know, why would you take more female hormones? I mean, at that age, he was only in his 20s then. So I can't imagine why.
I think, and I mean, I'm a Christian man, so I have to lean toward the Bible, and that's what I'm going to do because the Bible is proven. I don't care who you think you are or what you want to say. You cannot hold a candle up and say that the Bible is not proven itself. it's been tested for as long as I know, as long as you know, and it's been tested to be true. And that's another discussion, the Dead Sea Scrolls. And Denise was saying it has every book except for Esther.
Every book was on the Dead Sea Scrolls, as was written on there, some parts on there except for the book of Esther.
And the Bible I read, people say, I'm not sure how sure these facts are, but it's 27% prophecy. And what God is doing in this book is he's prophesying certain things like the destruction of Israel or even the coming home or Israel becoming a nation again. These things have been prophesied hundreds of years before it even happened.
Well, even the birth of Jesus, though, yes, was prophesied.
And the death
and the bloodline of how it came through.
Right.
You know, I mean, it was down. I mean, prophesied to
the
exact
letter.
Point of where he was going to be born through the bloodline.
Nothing wrong.
How
even
could
with
you
the,
do crucif- that?
The crucifixion of Christ to the letter, no mistakes. And those facts or those prophecies are in the Dead Sea Scrolls. Who, you know, they're authentic. You know, they're tested,
When I was doing the research on it, they said that the authenticity of those is just a proven fact.
Right.
It didn't say how they proved it or whatever.
But they're not sure who the author.
Right. They just said that these are just a proven fact that these are real. They're real things. They're authentic. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, and there's no one that they could find to dispute that these were not authentic, written in the era, and it was over a vast number of years that
right.
these things have been written.
But what I'm getting at is that in the book of Isaiah, it prophesied the death of Jesus Christ to the letter. And if it's not to the letter, then it's not God's word. Okay, if there's one mistake in those areas, then it is not God's word. Now, I said that to say this, is that Bruce Jenner, he's having some issues or had some issues and he's wondering. Now, I don't know if he sought after Christ or I don't know what his demeanor is or his thinking. And a lot of people now, they can take what I just said and there's evidence and they can follow it up on their own. And they can find out how true this is and the various things that not it's history. You can check history on the Bible in the Bible. You can do that, can't you, niece?
Yeah,
you can check history. The scholars and they check their facts or what they find with their diggings in that stuff. They check it against the Bible because it's just not wrong. And you can find that, you know, find all that stuff out on your own. But people don't want to know the truth because they don't want to be right. They don't want to do right. They just want to do what they want to do. And that's this thing with Bruce Jenner is that his happiness and his peace was right there. But that's not what he chose to be and not what he chose to do. Now, in my opinion, I don't believe the man or the woman, or like I say, the it, I don't think it's gonna be happy. I don't think changing its sex from a man to a woman, do you believe that that's gonna make him happy?
Well, no, because I think that there's other issues. I mean, and this is my personal opinion. Anybody living in a Kardashian home or anything, that'd make anybody go crazy, you know, or be confused. You know, on what's going on.
But why do you think? Because there's no morals. It's all about money. It's all about attention, media attention, and that whole thing.
Well, I think a lot of that is what goes on, and the opinion for wanting to be in the public eye constantly. So whatever drama they can stir on up is
well,
what
that's
they can
about
stir
money.
Up. You know, it's all about money.
Well, do you
money.
Think Bruce Jenner's now, whole thing is about money?
I mean,
he's going on,
yeah.
and I'm sure he yeah. made millions yeah. off these
but
interviews and everything else.
I don't think his is necessarily about money. Because to me, I think, you know, I looked at Bruce Jenner as, you know, a gold medal triathlon, you know, or biathlon, whatever it was, the six different sports that he went to. And I can remember watching him in the 76 Olympics. To me, I thought that was a great man to be able to do what he could do. Going to be a woman? That to me was like almost, you know, that was like stripping him of his gold medals and kicking him off to the side. Make a, you know, I mean, to me, I would think I have a lot less respect for him than I did of like this image of
now.
This,
there's a lot of people you saying that, Denise. There's a lot of people out there going, "That stupid woman. She has no idea what she's talking about because people feel a certain way." And I mean, I can relate to people feeling a certain way.
You know, that to me, you know, I'm gonna take it back to feeling, you know, certain ways about certain things. Does that mean because, you know, if you're a man and you like, you know, you like the way women look and stuff, I'm going to act upon my actions. So, you know, I'm going to go outside of the marriage or every woman I see, I'm going to just, you know, throw them down the ground. I'm going to act upon how I feel. Mm. Or am I going to try to do what's, you know, that's a problem with pedophiles. That's a problem with what's going on in a lot of the Catholic churches is they're acting upon a feeling, you know,
Heart is wicked.
It is. And I don't, you know, we were given, you know, God gave us a brain to decipher between right and wrong. Now, we don't always do what is right because of the sin,
our flesh.
Oh, yeah.
Being human,
you know, I mean, and that goes all the way back to Adam and Eve, you know, but to just do whatever feels good, whatever you feel like. You know, we're above that. That's like an animal. An animal just does, you know, they do not have that ability.
Yeah.
You know, they just do whatever they think. It's like a fire. I'm going to run, you know, not towards a fire, away from a fire. That's why they say when the tsunamis were, you know, coming, so many of the animals, they took to run to high ground. They knew that. They didn't do that because someone taught them. They did that because that was their instinct. Mm-hmm. They know that the salmon have an instinct to go, you know, up the stream to spawn, and that the whales are going to go, you know, where you go whale watching, that they're going to do whatever, the birds go and fly south. That's an instinct. We are better than that as human beings. So why do
some
we want to...
Some people would disagree.
Well, disagree, but to me, you're stooping to the level of what an animal is. And that God gave us to be above the animals. And that even says that in the Bible, that we are to, you know, that's why he let Adam name every one of the animals.
Well,
he put him above that.
Back to Bruce Jenner and stuff, that I believe that he will still be tormented, but I believe that he will figure out a way to make a dollar in this tormenting or this whole saga. He is going to be, because of the nature of society today, that there are going to be a lot of rich people because of this saga. But he's also promoting something that is very evil. But could you read that scripture, that Isaiah 5:20, Denise, that we had discussed earlier.
Gotta get it.
And but
my phone is getting all these
pop-ups
in here.
Anyway, but these times, the Bible says that good will be called evil and evil will be called good. I'm pretty sure that the judges, the Supreme Court, will approve gay marriages and all those things that go with it because of, in my opinion, the decline of what God has put in order, that an evil force is designed to disrupt and take it apart.
You're talking again.
So anyway, good being evil and evil being called good in today's society. And I'm referring to homosexuality and how they look down upon you if you don't, you know, you don't have to attack them or anything like that. But if you disagree with that or you can't accept that, I believe a lot of the churches that refuse to marry them, I believe a lot of the establishments will be sued and put out of business. Good Christian people are going to suffer because of this thing going on.
Okay, Isaiah 5:20, the New King James, or the King James Version says, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, put that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter.
Okay, now what I believe is that, you know, they can't try to be like a joint union. They are trying, like I'm just saying, as far as getting benefits and that whole thing, they are trying to change the word of God. They are trying to take something that is an abomination to God and give it light. They're trying to make it like,
well,
and it's dark. It used to be darkness. It subsided. To me, it's still darkness. But they're trying to
flip things around.
Like not I flip said, it, but it's a counterfeit
right.
of it. So they're trying to play that just like God set it up. They're trying to play this thing like it is the right thing because that's what they want. But it's a counterfeit for what God has set up.
Well, you know, and it says, you know, bitter will be sweet and sweet will be bitter.
Mm-hmm.
And so to me, when I read that is, okay, he's saying I'm bitter and I'm going to try to go for what's sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what it says, when you try to go for what's sweet, when you try to do it outside of what God wants you to do, it's only bitter still.
And it's still, you know, man-made.
And it's, mm-hmm. you know, it kind of reminds me back to Adam and Eve, if you want to mm-hmm. go to. God mm-hmm. said you can eat anything you want to eat except for that one tree, that mm-hmm. one fruit,
mm-hmm.
you know, and because of the weakness of the flesh.
And a free will.
And a free will, because we were given that free will. We ate that. And no, that fruit was probably really good.
Do you think it was?
You know, good enough that she said, here, Adam, eat it too,
uh-huh.
because I don't want to be the only one. So mm-hmm. here, you eat it too, you know. And what happened then? That sweetness turned into bitter. And,
right, right.
and mm-hmm. you know, everybody carries that, you know, as I remember, that DNA in with you,
right.
That you have that mark on you.
Okay, what? So basically what the devil does is he counterfeits what God has already done and tries to make it appear to be the right thing. But this gay marriage and approval of gay marriage and these unions, it is of man. And it is a counterfeit of what God has done. So, I mean, you can just, you know, figure that out on your own.
I guess, you know, like I said with like Bruce Jenner, where I struggle with is that you felt like you were a woman, but why did you marry then? And you're attracted to other women, but yet he's not homosexual.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you fathered, you know, 5 or 6 kids.
Well, you might find out that he was homosexual. Yeah. He's just not letting that fact be known.
I mean, he married twice. He had 2 different women, and they weren't, you know, kick of the road type of women and stuff.
Uh-huh.
You know, he married women that, you know, were prominent women, or, you know, one was an actress. And then you married, you know, Chris Kardashian.
So how do you know he didn't have any homosexual lovers?
Know, well, you don't. But I mean,
you don't.
But, you know, what he says is, I'm still attracted to women. So now you want to be a woman dating a woman? You know, and
they
and
call those lesbians.
Well, but the thing is unless you go and you have, you know, an operation change, and then you can't have the same sexual pleasures that you had before the way you used to do it because you don't have the same apparatus.
Well, I've been told on many occasions that I'm a lesbian trapped in a man's body.
You know,
that's what I've been told. And I kind of believe it, but...
Because you like women. You just like to hang around with the women.
Yeah, I mean, but that's basically, and I don't know, it's like twisted, crazy, twisted. Let's go on to something. We don't have a lot of time, but I wanted to touch on the tragedy in
Nepal.
In Nepal, Kathmandu.
Yeah. You know, they had that 7.9 earthquake through there, and it was like very, very destructive. You know, one of the things I was reading up on that country is it's such a poor country.
It was 7.9?
7.9.
Mm-hmm.
It's the worst earthquake that they've had in the South Asian area in 80 years. And 80 years ago, which was 1934, they had an 8.0 in that same country.
But it didn't demolish any of their holy spots or temples
or anything?
It did. They rebuilt them or?
No, it's that country is very... long, mm-hmm. I guess you could say, when you looked at it. So, and if you looked at where the earthquakes have hit, they've been sporadic. Most of them are around the coastal lines,
mm-hmm.
you know. So, mm-hmm. but that earthquake there was, like I said, very devastating. There's been 5 major ones since 1934. That where a major is 6.5 mm-hmm. to that 8.0.
And how many people died?
Right now it's like over 6,300 have died. But what kind of amazed me was, you know, not only it said it toppled a lot of the 19th century towers that were in Kathmandu and a lot of the other areas, but it damaged 1.3 million houses, damaged them, completely damaged. Mm-hmm. And it was something like 1 point something else that were partially damaged. And then it was 10,394 government buildings have collapsed all the way, which tells you that, you know, obviously
their codes, you know.
I mean, that country has nothing to offer except for it was a tourist attraction. They had so many of those old temples and towers, and it had Mount Everest, which, you know, they had the avalanche on Mount Everest that 10 were killed on that area there. But, you know, there's just nothing left hardly in that area.
Okay, now, it's destruction of biblical proportion. It's crazy. And see, a lot of us, like you say, is this God's fury on a people that worship idols? And I'm not sure what the ratio is as far as idol worship there, and I'm not even sure what they believe. Are they Hindus?
They're Hindus, because it talked about the Hinduism or something like that. So I think they're Hindu because they are down on that part of the area there that, you know, that is a lot of Hindus. And so that's what I got out of the research of what their main structure was. But, you know, but it didn't precisely say that. But that's where the Hindu temples and towers that were, I mean, that's what they showed was, and it said that that's, you know,
okay,
what were.
Okay, can you read that, Romans 8:22? And I don't know if you want to read a couple of verses before so we can get the context of what it's saying, a couple of verses afterwards. But when I think of that, and I'm not going to say that this is God's doing. Denise was telling me in church today, the pastor was saying that it's not usually God's doing, but it's the action or the consequence of people doing the wrong thing. And then God basically gets impatient and then destroys the thing that's going on. And, you know, that sounds like a fairy tale to a lot of people. But the scripture that she's about to read kind of explains in what I believe are the beginning of the end times. There's a lot of things that are supposed to happen in the end times, which a lot of people do not want to accept or believe because we just want to stay in our own ways.
Okay, I'm going to start at verse 20. It says, "For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subject it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of the corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and the labor with the birth pangs together unto now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves."
Okay, what that is basically saying, and I'm no theologian by no stretch of the imagination, but what I'm saying is that God's saying that even the earth is going to be revamped, and I'll say just like our bodies are getting older and moaning in old age, that those who believe in Christ will have new bodies, and the earth, did that say about the earthquakes in diverse places?
No, that wasn't.
But anyway, the Bible does talk about earthquakes and phantoms being in diverse places of the earth, and that these very things that are happening will happen, and they are happening. So, but it's the beginning of the end, basically. And what we need to do is we need to acknowledge Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and we need to accept that and do the things that are written in this book that were put there for learning and knowledge and good, you know, good and not evil. So with that, I'd like to thank Denise, and brilliant job, Denise. You are a talker. But I'd like to also say that we are never more like our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ than when we are loving, forgiving, and creating.